Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go and Surname FC.
Oh man, what's up, guys? What's up, everybody? It's Hector Flores, host of Insert Name MC. If you guys are probably wondering why me and Edward kind of, well, I'm laughing right now, is because when I was pressing the record, I missed the record button.
Somebody has depth perception issues and he's wearing glasses.
Yeah, it's not a good look for me right now. So yeah, I basically missed the record button. I just pressed the record button again and did not try to like recompose myself, but fuck it, let's do it. All right, what's up, guys? It's Hector Flores, host of Insert Name FC. And with me, as always, is my best friend and the other host of the show, Edward Robles.
What's up, guys? Whoops, sorry. I forgot to hit the record button on my end, apparently. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I wanted it to be funny. Didn't work. I blame the tequila and the sickness.
Yeah, if you guys haven't realized, Edward yet again is sick. So you guys probably hear some from Edward.
Yeah. So, yep.
But he did.
Perks of being around kids, apparently.
But he did take a shot of tequila, so hopefully that helps him.
It was a swig, bro. I just grabbed the bottle. I couldn't find my shot glasses, so I just went ahead and drank it straight out the bottle. Maybe that's why I felt like it was really strong. I don't know.
I mean, you're not measuring it, so you're just kind of,
you know, I'm just winging it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Edward's a little bit sick. We're on the Zoom call. I think the Zoom call is going to be just a thing now.
I think that might actually be until we can get our own studio. Wink, wink.
That's probably the way to go for it right now. But yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, what?
Sorry. Oh,
and it starts.
Yeah. But. You were all saying, right. I was like, we actually have a pretty decent, like, I'm not going to say action packed, but hey, you never know.
I mean, it's a pretty loaded. It's a loaded episode. Obviously, we have the coaching rumors. We have transfer watch, a pretty loaded transfer watch. Actually, we got some headlines. We got our debate topic. We got game recaps. We got players of the week. We will be previewing the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup because that's coming up this weekend. And of course, give you guys some games to look forward to this coming weekend. I mean, we shouldn't have to tell you this, but obviously the final of Copa America and Euros will be this weekend. So, you know, get ready. And to give you guys a reference, we record these on Monday. So as of right now, England's playing Denmark and Italy is playing Spain. So we don't know who's going to be in the final. So if you guys are like, how come you guys haven't previewed the final? Well, because we don't know who's in the final. As we're speaking right now, Peru is playing against Brazil, and they're losing 1-0. So,
wait, who's losing? Peru or Brazil?
Peru.
Oh, okay.
So,
hey, man, you never know.
So, just give you a frame of reference. This is where we are. But yeah, and then of course wrap things up with a 3-up, 3-down. Which obviously, if we're talking about the CONCACAF Gold Cup, we're going to do a 303 down on the CONCACAF Gold Cup jerseys. And that also includes the teams that are competing in the prelims. So, yeah, jam-packed show. I think I'll say it's a jam-packed show. I think there's going to be a lot to do. So we can't wait to get to it. So we're going to get we're going to go ahead and take a break unless everyone wants to add anything to this.
Nope, nothing at all right now, sir.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. You guys are going to listen to an ad and then we'll get going with the show.
Hector, what was your New Year's resolution?
Same one as every year. Read more.
Why every year?
Well, with school and work, it is simply hard to find time to read.
What if instead of reading, we listen to someone read your books for you on Audible?
Audible?
Audible has a large library of audiobooks that you can listen to at your convenience. I like listening to my audiobooks on my way to work.
What if I don't like Audible?
You can start a 30-day free trial when you go to www.audibletrial.com/insertnamefcpodcast. You'll be supporting the Insert Name FC podcast along with finally getting that New Year's resolution done.
Thanks. Now I'm going to start a 30-day free trial.
And we are back. This time I actually did hit the record button on accurately this time. All right. Anyway, we got some coaching rumors going around. And we got to start things off with, obviously, is Frank de Boer stepping down as the manager for the Netherlands after a very embarrassing exit for them, especially when they looked amazing in the group stages. But just another disappointment for Frank de Boer, who couldn't even keep his job with Atlanta United. And it'll be interesting to see where Frank de Boer goes from here. Because I'm kind of shocked that the Netherlands even gave him the job, to be frank, especially on how he did with the MLS. And Frank DeBoer in general, man, hasn't really had like the most illustrious, at least in recent, hasn't had like the most illustrious like track record. But anyways, continuing on, Rafa Benitez has become the manager of Everton, replacing Carlo Ancelotti yet again. Rafa Benitez, I feel like he has this thing about just following up Ancelotti.
He just wants to one up him, man. He has to have that one time to shine. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he didn't want to Real Madrid.
I'm just saying, maybe that's
actually what he didn't even last. Didn't very last I, very I know, long in Real Madrid.
I know, but I'm just saying, maybe he wants to.
I'll give you Napoli. He wants to finally.
No, I mean, maybe he wants to finally one up him, even though it's not per se. His highlights, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's known for other stuff and instead of actually making it into the championship, or he's known for more of the lower tier stuff.
I mean, well, you can't say that. I mean, Rafa Benitez was part of an amazing time in Liverpool, so I'm not going to...
Yeah, I'll say that. I'm pretty sure Kelsey's going to... I'm pretty sure Kelsey's throwing a book at me right now or like a shoe or something.
Sure, very carefully there, because Rafa Benitez is a good manager. He just said, he wasn't bad at Newcastle.
Yeah, he had Gavin Harris and Santi Munoz. You know what I mean? Oh wait, wrong.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, Tottenham has hired a manager, and his name is Nuno Espiritu Santo, who was the manager at Wolverhampton. So I mean.
Guys wow. want to know, oh now, my lord.
Wolverhampton now
has a... Is he Portuguese?
Yeah.
Okay, that's so what all the
maybe,
Portugal
maybe
players
Tottenham's
have been going.
Gonna start buying in on Portuguese players. They're gonna
all Benfica players.
Benfica, Porto.
Benfica, what would it Porto? Maybe a little bit of
Renato
Sporting.
Sanchez is gonna go to Tottenham. Is this
bro? We don't know. Hey, you never know. Hey, what about that kid? The one that I always tell you about. Darwin Nunez? You think maybe
I mean, maybe, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with Tottenham. No one knows what's happening at Tottenham. But they got their guy, sort of. I mean, after being...
Wait, okay, we'll,
after getting we'll pulled, wait. Maybe he'll back out of the job.
We'll wait and see. We'll see what happens. Maybe he'll actually do a hell of a job.
He did a good job at Wolverhampton, so I'm not saying that he's not a bad manager. I mean, Wolverhampton became amazing, you know, a team that looked really good. I mean, they never made it to that extra step that they should be doing, but I mean, they had a very talented roster. Obviously, they had, you know, Traore. They had, when healthy, Raul Jimenez. So, I mean, it was, you know, Wolverhampton was a pretty good team. I think they'll be at least someone competing for 7-6, you know, in the Premier League, at least. Hopefully, that's what they were hoping for. But I don't know what's going to happen. Be interesting to see who Wolverhampton goes after. But it's just interesting to see what new, I just like how his last name is Holy Ghost. But
yeah.
But anyways, Arsenal and French legend Patrick Vieira becomes the manager of Crystal Palace.
Damn, that's awesome. Though, I mean, for Patrick Vieira, but you know, I'm pretty sure Arsenal fans would have loved to see him, you know.
Well, I mean, some of them are still kind of being with Mikel Arteta. And some are not for Mikel Arteta. It's a very mixed bag with Mikel Arteta.
Okay. As an Arsenal fan, what are you right now? Like, are you for Mikel Arteta or are you against him? Or not even against him, but just you're just like having your big doubts?
I don't have my doubts with Mikel Arteta. I think Mikel Arteta is a good manager. The issue is just the you know, Stan Kroenke is cheap. Honestly the big issue is just he's cheap, and I mean, because of his cheapness, that's the reason why they weren't able to keep Odegaard. Now they're going to have to like go and look elsewhere for someone, or maybe Smith Rowe has to be the guy to step up. And that's probably a reason why Smith Rowe has been they're not taking any offers for Smith Rowe, which makes sense. I mean, Saka and Smith Rowe to me are like untouchable for Arsenal. But I don't think Mikel Arteta is bad. I don't think he's a bad manager. I just think that he's in a shitty situation because you're in a really cheap club right now. And I mean, yeah. Arsene Wenger was able to figure things out because the man found guys that were like a little bit not too expensive and then became really good players under him. But I mean, you know, like it's not every manager that could do that. So I mean, Arsene Wenger was a very rare manager to have. And I mean, there's a reason why he had such a long career at Arsenal. And why?
Yeah.
Ever since he left,
I mean, he kept it.
Similar to Sir Alex Ferguson in Manchester United. Ever since he left, there hasn't been a manager that has even been close to double-digit years. And I mean, no one's going to touch how long those two careers have been as a manager for one team.
Well, no, yeah, I agree big time. What I was going to tell you is, do you think that with the player? I mean, remember, this is going off of an interview that with Mesut Ozil. Remember, he said that Smith Rowe is actually basically going to be the one to take over his number 10. Well, like, to take over his spot.
That's not shocking. It's not shocking because, I mean, everybody saw what Smith Rowe can be. I mean, Smith Rowe's another part. Like, England's, we talked about this before. England kind of is having, like, another golden generation. I mean, when we think of English golden generations, obviously you think of Stevie Gerrard, Frank Lampard, David Beckham,
George Best. It's not the same.
Wayne Rooney.
It's not the same.
I'm talking about the golden generation. I'm talking about the golden generation.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the golden age generation.
No, the golden generation. But I mean, Smith Rowe, and you know, you're seeing what like Saka. He's making some appearances over right now for the Euros for England. I mean, I think Smith, there's a reason why there's a lot of hype with Smith Rowe. People haven't seen it yet just because he hasn't been playing. But since he started playing more, he's been amazing. I think Saka and him are going to be a bright part of Arsenal's future. It's just that Arsenal needs to pony up and get some guys that can come in and actually impact this team so they can compete for a Champions League spot and, you know, hopefully one day for a Premier League title. But
yeah, and I know that's what you want.
Well, that's what anybody wants.
Oh yeah. Everybody, that's what anybody wants. Yeah, you just don't want a name drop. That's all.
But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's be real. Like, no one, like, no. Especially if you're a fan of a top club, which is where, like, you know, Arsenal was a Super League team. But like, the thing is that like you go like every year, regardless of what kind of fan you are, whether you're a Norwich fan, whether you're a Man U fan, a Man City fan, your hopes is that they're going to win it somehow. It just,
you know. When you say Norwich, I was like, really, bro?
But I'm just saying, like, if you're a fan of that team, you want them to win it. Like, they're in it, so you want them to win it. Hey, you know what? A few years ago, we were laughing at the thought of Leicester City winning a Premier League title.
I was not laughing. I was not laughing at all. I was actually
I'm not saying not. Oh my God, Edward! I said before the season started.
I was just like,
So that season, you said, "Oh, Leicester City is gonna win the Premier League."
No, they just got promoted, so I can't even judge them.
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck are you arguing about?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
No, because I was like, I made this statement, and then you're over here arguing with me, and then I made the point of Leicester, and you're over here saying, no, I believe in Leicester. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, what do you mean? Where are you going with this? I'm like, you're kind of confusing the fuck out of me right now.
I'm just going off of what you're going off.
What did I say?
Norwich. You said Norwich. I was like, out of all teams to say it, Norwich.
Because I'm pointing out every fan should want to be winning the Premier League. Everyone should grasp for straws here, but I'm just saying if you're in it, you want your team to win it, regardless of your situation. You just know you got to go play the games. Obviously, as things go by, you're going to have to just, like, set your, but I mean, the first day of the season, it's a clean slate. Everybody's in the same level aside from their bank accounts. But I mean, like, the same, like I said, using Leicester City as an example, no one thought that team was going to win the Premier League. Don't pull that bullshit. We could have saw it. They had some quality.
No. I didn't even say if they were going to lose or win. I remember. I was like, damn, I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was surprised, but I'm not going to say.
I'm really trying to figure out where the fuck you were going with this.
I'm not going anywhere. I just said Norwich, like, kind of looked at you with a scoff a little bit. Like, you know.
I was making a point that everybody wants to win the Premier League.
Okay.
I hope Norwich fans attack you like the way Fulham fans were attacking me with me talking trash about their club.
I mean, no, Fulham actually. Never mind. I was like, Fulham actually, and I was like,
well, they're in the championship, so
yeah, I know. That's why I was like, oh,
yeah, I hope freaking Norwich fans start sliding into your DMs.
Luckily, nobody slid into my DMs, whether I want them there or not. You know what I mean?
I got messages from Fulham fans like, "Why the fuck you talk about my club like that? You don't know what the fuck my club has." I'm like, no one knows what the fuck your club has.
There's a hidden gem somewhere. It's probably hidden there for 10 years, and you don't know.
Oh man, they're about to lose Anthony Robinson. So, anyways, what I was saying. But obviously, you want to win the Premier League. Everybody wants to win the Premier League. It's not like, oh, just certain clubs want to win the Premier League. No, if your team is in the Premier League, you want to win the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to say you're wrong. It's just, I'll be honest. I like you said, Norwich fans are probably going to go in my DMs, blow me up, and probably threaten me and stuff, but I was scoffing because it was Norwich City, you know. It's not like they went out and did a Leeds United and just did like a whole 360, just changed basically everything.
Well, you know, you don't know that. Have you been following what Norwich City has been doing?
Not really, and honestly, I don't think I should.
There you go.
I've been following a little bit of Leeds because I'm like, damn, like they've been showing up, so you know.
Okay. This went so far off from what we were doing.
Yeah, here. I know. That's what I was saying. I was like, let's just get back on track. Let's just focus on what we're doing.
This is your fault, by the way.
I'm just telling you.
You're the one that scoffed at Norwich City.
Exactly.
You asked me a question, and I answered the question, and then I gave you a comment about how everybody would want to win the Premier League, and I mentioned Norwich City. And you were the one insulted. So,
I wasn't insulted.
This was your fault. Actually,
let me put it this way. I wasn't insulted. I did scoff at Norwich City saying, you know, like you saying that Norwich City basically you didn't say it. You said more of a, that you want the fans want Norwich City to actually win the cup, but you're not wrong. But it's just, I scoffed at the fact that thinking, hey, that's actually a reality, you know, like Norwich City winning the cup. But I'm like, you got all these big name teams. I was like, I'm not going to say, oh, it's going to happen. Unless if they do what Leeds United did, which is just basically change the entire squad and just go out.
I don't know about Leeds United changing the entire squad. They added a few pieces, but they didn't change.
They bolstered themselves, which is good.
Yeah, but they already had Bamford. We're going off track here.
We're going off track here.
Why you keep trying to? Like, I'm like over here. Like, I'm winning this debate, by the way.
I know you are. I'm telling you what I think, and we're getting derailed here. So I just want to get back on the track. You know what
I'm saying? The reason why we derailed.
I know. That's why I'm telling you, let's get back on track. Let's get back on track.
Okay. And the last coaching rumor is Chris Armas has been relieved of duties at Toronto FC. Hey, maybe Frank De Boer becomes a new manager at Toronto. I mean, the bar is pretty low right now at Toronto because it don't look so good. So, hey, maybe Frank De Boer could take over that. So that is the coaching rumors.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like we spent almost like 15 minutes just on that itself.
yeah, we did.
Thanks, Edward. All right. Thanks, Edward. You already admitted it was your fault. Transfer watch. All right. Antoine Griezmann is looked at as an alternative for Manchester City. I'm assuming if they can't get Jack Grealish or Harry Kane, Griezmann's probably their next target. Which, I mean, makes sense. I don't know. Well, actually, no. He does fit a little bit better with Man City, even though it's crazy enough that Pep Guardiola, the tiki-taka guy. But, you know, I feel like he's changed his style of play with the players that he has at Man City. And, I mean, Man City is all about pace. And I mean, adding Griezmann with Phil Foden, that might be
crazy good.
Crazy to think that this is an alternative.
but I mean, you gotta think about it. They're also both their main foot is their lefty. They're left footed. So I mean, that's pretty badass. So I mean, I'm just saying, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I mean, I think you would hate that though, knowing that you're a Man U fan.
I know. I mean, do you know how much I love Phil Foden, and then that I actually go ahead and buy him either for Dortmund or whatever team I end up playing with. You're right, dude. Like, even just seeing Phil Foden play against Man U, dude, I'm always worried. Like, I'm like, he's not leaving anytime soon.
No, he's not. He's about to be their number 10. Arsenal.
Yep.
So Arsenal reject a $30 million bid from Aston Villa for Smith Rowe, who we mentioned earlier. Xhaka hits at Arsenal exit, thank God. Arsenal in talks with Benfica for Tavares, who is a fullback over there. I actually kind of like him. I think he's a promising fullback. Actually, a player that I end up getting a lot in FIFA. So I actually like this move. Actually, a guy that I've actually taken for Arsenal a few times in FIFA. So, get out of my FIFA saves, Arsenal. Arsenal preparing to make a bid for Sheffield United's goalkeeper Ramsdale. So it's interesting what's happening with Arsenal with the goalkeeper position, because you would think that they have something solid with Leno, and now you're seeing all these rumors with goalkeepers. Ramsdale, I think a really good goalkeeper, a very promising goalkeeper. So I mean, he's English and all that, but I mean, you know, I still think it's weird that they're going for goalkeepers when you have Leno. Barcelona's link Damsgaard has a $50 million price tag, 50 million euro price tag to be more specific. Who has been killing it with Denmark right now?
Yeah, dude. I'm just damn.
Barcelona's Firpo to join Leeds United for 50 million. Conrad De La Fuente to join Marcial.
Yeah, that's I mean, okay, let me ask you this. It was a transfer, right?
It's a transfer.
Fuck. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Barcelona, being as smart as they are, they probably, if they really value Conrad De La Fuente. I'm sure that they probably put a buyback clause.
They did like a buyback clause, but like at a cheap rate, not too much.
I'm just assuming. I mean, that's usually what most, at least what Barcelona and Real Madrid likes to do is do those buyback clauses. But yeah, so Conrad De La Fuente will be playing in Ligue 1 this coming season. Manchester United going in for Goretzka.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. That's a crazy thing right there.
It's gonna be interesting. I like that move for them. I think definitely better than, no offense to Van de Beek, but definitely better than Van de Beek for that one. Leicester to sign Salzburg star Daka for $23 million. Tavares is going to Arsenal for $7 million. So that is a steal.
Let me go back to the one you said before about Xhaka. I'm pretty sure you're happy about Xhaka.
About him hinting a leave?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I kind of already said my thing about it, but
you said more than the thing about it.
Everyone knows
the rent.
Everybody knows how I feel about Xhaka. Like,
exactly.
So, I mean, like, yes, I'm happy. But the man's still on the roster. Until that man's out of the roster, I will not be celebrating just yet. I'm going to hold my celebration until he's officially out of the roster. And yeah. Anyway, so getting back in track. Hakimi joins PSG. It's like, is PSG going to be a problem this season?
I'm telling you, dog.
The super team is just like, I'm like, I can't.
It's right on the horizon, bro. I mean,
you know what? I'm not even mad for you anymore. Like, you're due for like a take to actually come for told. Because I mean,
let me tell you something. I'm not like a big PSG fan. I'm not a fan at all.
You had your hot take that you thought Barcelona wasn't going to qualify for Champions. I mean, technically, it's still up in the air depending if UEFA chooses to punish Barcelona.
Oh gosh!
So you might be right
damn
on Barcelona, that.
Walk away, damn it!
You might be right on that, on your take about Barcelona qualifying for Champions League, and the whole Timo Werner thing.
Oh gosh, bro! I mean, Timo Werner just let me down big time. I'm not even a Chelsea fan, you know that, and I just want Timo Werner to be good. Yeah, like the dude was cold, but it's just he literally was cold.
Yeah. Anyways, so this should probably get you a little bit happy. Manchester United finally got their guy. Jadon Sancho will be with Manchester United for 73 million euros. Also, probably a little bit, it's like a bittersweet moment for you because obviously that means Dortmund will not have Jadon Sancho. But I mean, as loaded as Dortmund is with youth talent, I'm sure that they'll be fine.
Bro, like literally Dortmund, I don't know. Like, okay. They're like Ajax and, you know, like those foreign teams that they call them. It's just, I kind of wish Dortmund would just stick with the players and just like Marco Reus, like how Mario Götze was before he decided to leave Bayern, like, you know, like Piszczek, you know, like, I just want them to do so well. I want them to actually win the championship. I want them to actually be far enough in the Champions League. Like I want them to at least win one fucking time.
Yeah, they were in the Champions League finals when they played Bayern Munich.
Yes, and it just
that final is such an afterthought for me. I keep forgetting that final happened.
No, it's just they're an amazing team.
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I always forget that final happened because. I feel like it was a very uneventful final. Sort of. Anyways, Arsenal is making a bid for Locatelli. I mean, the way he's looking right now at Italy, I can imagine why. Mbappe does not want an extension at PSG. So,
oof. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I read about that. And actually, it's looking more and more like Real Madrid might actually get away with it, like getting Mbappe.
You also have this whole thing that PSG is prepared to bench him if he doesn't sign make an extension.
So, well, I'm pretty sure they're going to end up fucking selling him.
It's not looking good for. There's like PSG looks kind of good, and then it kind of does look good at the same time. So,
well, no, then at that point, do you really? Okay, let's put it this way: as a player, would you actually want to play for a team who benches one of their stars?
No,
one of their main players.
It's just the fact that they know it's the inevitable. Like Mbappe is going to go elsewhere because I mean. Right now he's just a big fish in a very small pond. No offense to Liga. But like if he really wants to be truly live up to the potential that everyone has him right now as being like the next best thing along with Erling Haaland, he's gonna have to leave and go to a better league. Like even if he goes to like a Bayern or a Liverpool, he has to go to that next level. Like he doesn't necessarily have to go. I want him to go to Real Madrid. But it doesn't have to be Real Madrid. As long as he goes to one of those right now to me, still the big three leagues is, you know, EPL, La Liga, and Bundesliga. Like Serie A is looking good, but they're not there yet. And Ligue 1, I mean, aside from just Leo having that amazing season and looks like they're losing all their players from that and their coach. So, I mean, like, it's still PSG's league to lose.
And yeah, so, like, pretty much.
Mbappe has to go elsewhere because, I mean, he's not going to face real competition unless he goes to one of those three leagues that I just mentioned. I mean, maybe some people might say Bundesliga is a little bit one-sided as well, but, I mean, I feel like the competition is a little bit better than it is in Ligue 1, no offense to Ligue 1. But, I mean, we'll see what happens with Mbappe. I hope he goes to Real Madrid. I mean, I would love to see that, but only time would tell. Chelsea and Manchester United are on alert after Declan Rice rejects West Ham offer.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Can you imagine a midfield with Declan Rice and Goretzka? And Bruno Fernandes? Okay, there's two midfielders. That's two. Where's the defense? Like, I guess they're approaches. I mean, who needs defense when you can score like eight goals a game? Yeah,
pretty much. Like, I was about to say, I was like, who needs defense when you got that counterattack? When you got Bruno Fernandes just running down the field, and then all of a sudden he just needs two players waiting to
be open. And then causing a penalty, and then forcing a penalty.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
Juve are heavy favorites to get Locatelli. Well, that just kind of crushed my dreams there. Mata signs a 1-year deal with Manchester United.
What? He's going back?
Yep.
What?
Man, imagine that midfield.
Wow. Bro, like, honestly, he's just going to sign the deal for 1 year. He's going to be a fucking superstar. That's it.
I mean, that's all he's going to be. Nothing wrong with that. I'm sure he knows where he's at right now in his career.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just going to be a superstar.
Chelsea's Gilmore to go on loan with Norwich City.
Okay. There you go.
Sergio Ramos joins PSG. That's all I got to say.
What did I say? What did I fucking say? I fucking knew it. Super team on the world.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Well, we braced ourselves for this shit. We knew that this was coming.
No. I knew that this was coming.
Once I saw the Sergio Ramos rules, I was like, I'm just going to brace myself now because everyone wants to shut the fuck up about it. All right. Liverpool
and Caribbean. Brace yourself. And then fucking just holding on to something.
Liverpool and Spurs going after Sassuolo's Berardi. I mean, another Italian player that's looking amazing right now for Italy in the Euros. So, I mean, everyone's buying in on Italian players. Makes sense, but
maybe Italy's like
there's always that hot team, that hot national team that's doing really good, and it's like it's like how everybody at one point wanted a French player. Now how everybody wanted at one point a German player. Everybody wanted a Portuguese player. And now it's going to be, hey, let's get back on the Italian bandwagon. So it's an interesting science. Camavinga exit from Rennes is inevitable. So it's going to be interesting to see what Camavinga ends up going to because he is a highly sought out player. Kind of going back to how the fact that everybody wants a French player. Camavinga is over here.
You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong about that, man.
Arsenal player Guendouzi close to making a deal with Martial, joining Conrad De La Fuente will be Guendouzi. So
damn.
Yep. Barco FC hoping to sign Dani Alves and use Dani Alves to lure Messi to Barco FC in Egypt.
Do you think that's gonna? Nah, I honestly don't think
unless they have like some oil money that we don't know of.
Nah, even honestly, with Messi, I don't even think it's about the money.
It's a Hail Mary move for me. Like, you bring it. I mean, Dani Alves can still play at his age, but I think he wants to stay in Brazil. I think
okay, let me put it this way. Even with the money, the only place I think he would end up going with money is either PSG or possibly even Qatar, or even just because Iniesta's there, Japan. That's it. Like, I think those are the only places that he would go of that.
But I mean, well, let's wait on that, Edward, because you're getting a little ahead of yourself with that one.
Right. I know. I'm just, like I said, that's what I think. That if this involves
I know, money, but we don't want to hear what you're thinking.
Damn, you fucking suck. Okay.
Well, I mean, bro, that's the fucking debate topic. Spoiler alert. So, Edward over here wants to be an asshole and not wait for that shit, but okay. All right, Rafa Varane agrees to terms with Manchester United.
Yay!
So, a back line with Varane and Harry Maguire. We'll see what happens. Wolves has signed Trincao on loan.
So, I think that's a good move.
Another Portuguese player going to Wolverhampton.
I mean, that's a good move for Barcelona.
Loan him out. They have too many wingers. So, I mean, like, it makes sense.
Dude, literally, it's like all wingers. It's funny. They probably start out as strikers, and all of a sudden,
speaking of wingers, Barcelona interested in Gosens.
I don't fucking know what to say now. I just want to drop this phone and just be like, you know what? I'm done.
So as they offload a winger, they go after a winger.
Another winger. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Barcelona set to release Pjanic and Umtiti.
I kind of saw that one coming.
I guess no one's giving them offers, so. I mean, if you're releasing them, it's because you can't, like, you just can't, no one wants them. So, or at least no one wants to pay how much they're wanting to sell them for. We got to I know Spencer's over here like, bro, why you guys got to keep saying selling these guys? Like, just the lingo.
That's the thing. It's the lingo. Okay, let me tell you something. For Umtiti, I feel like he's worth something decent. But Pjanic, I feel like
I still rate Umtiti. I think he's still a really good forward.
He's a good center back. He's a hell of a good center back.
His health,
injury prone. Yeah, like, but even then,
if it wasn't for his injuries, Umtiti would probably be one of the top center backs in the world. Wouldn't say he's the top. He isn't the top because I mean, no one's gonna.
I mean, think about it. He technically has a World Cup under his belt.
Technically, I mean, he was part of that World Cup team. He played in the World Cup team. I don't know how you say technically.
I say technically because I mean.
He was a starter for the World Cup team. I mean, he wasn't technically. I mean, he actually played for France in the World Cup.
So who else was a center back besides Varane? Besides Umtiti and Varane? Like
Umtiti and Varane. That was the pairing.
Really?
That was the center back pairing.
Ironically, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Okay. But I mean, anyways.
The only thing shocking from the backline of that World Cup team was Ben Pavard being the starting right back. That was because it was like this kid that's playing in the second division in France. Second division somewhere. And he was starting. And then next thing you know, like after that, he goes and plays for Bayern Munich. So, I mean, that was the only like shocking move because everybody's like, who's this Ben Pavard kid?
I mean,
Deschamps knows what he's doing, man. Anyways, PSV expecting to lose their stars, Malen and Dumfries. Malen, I don't think he played for Dutch, but I know Dumfries played for the Dutch in the Euros. I think I saw him a little bit, so now everybody wants to get themselves a Dutch player.
Yeah, pretty much. Remember when Elias was like the hot item? Like everybody wanted that winger. They wanted Elias.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just kind of died down.
Tottenham wants to keep Harry Kane. Well,
yeah, no shit.
that's an obvious one. I really don't personally think if Nuno Espiritu Santo would be enough to make Harry Kane stay. I mean, unless he thinks like, oh, I love what he did with Raul Jimenez, but And the last one is Barca won't budge on Messi's wages. So maybe that's the reason why Messi hasn't signed a deal with Barcelona. It's because I guess he doesn't like the wages that they're offering him. So, I don't know. But apparently they won't budge. That's all I got to say for that.
Yeah.
That is the transfer watch. Once again, to give you guys a reference, we record this on Monday. So that is from last Monday all the way till when we're recording this. So just to guys give you a reference, on everyone's going to be like, oh, well, so-and-so just signed. Well, you know, we don't know. we told you. But anyways, Edwards, headlines, man. All right, to start things off, Olivia Mulcher becomes the youngest player in NWSL history.
How old is she?
Olivia Mulcher is 15 years old, and she signs a 3-year deal with the Portland Thorns.
Wow. Damn, 15? Bro, like, we haven't even really seen in the men's league. I think the youngest we've seen was like 17 or 16.
What, in MLS? Freddie Adu?
No. Don't even get me started with that shit.
Oh,
but I'm just saying, like, in general, like, with even, like, in the Spain and La Liga and stuff, I still remember Boyan was, like, technically considered the youngest.
I mean, what? Odegaard was, like, 15.
Yeah. Oh, was he? When he first started with Real?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nothing new. So she signed a 3-year deal for the Portland Thorns. So the thing was, though, for this deal to get done, a legal battle actually happened. And that was because the NWSL was actually stopping this signing from happening because the legal minimum wage to sign to an NWSL team is 18 years old.
So
Olivia had her team of lawyers come in and started a legal battle with the NWSL. And once, obviously, clearly, she signed a deal, so they won. So they won the they won the lawsuit, and now Olivia Mulcher is a player for the NWSL. But this isn't the only time. She's actually been a pro since the age of 13.
Damn, really?
Yeah. So she hasn't really started.
Yeah, I guess you could say, like, not professionally, but maybe like a semi-pro, like division.
No, she was a pro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was a pro.
Damn. Yeah. God, what have I been doing with my life?
Well, you didn't focus on the
fundamentals. Basics,
on the fundamentals, so right? That's your own damn fault, Edward.
Yeah, I mean, heel flicks and tricks and Ronaldinho kind of style play. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Exactly. But yeah, so now she is a professional player for the Portland Thorns. I guess this is her first time as a senior. I guess senior team wise, because I know she played at one point for Beach FC. That's a cool name.
Beach, like as in
Playa,
like Miami Beach. Yeah,
yeah. Who's your club, Beach FC? It sounds so chill.
But, oh, for real, dude.
But yeah, I mean, She's already gotten called up with the U-17 U.S. Women's National Team. So, I mean, clearly she's on someone's radar, and Portland wanted to jump and get this girl as soon. And crazy enough, this girl's playing on a team with Christine Sinclair. So, if there's anybody to learn from, I believe Christine Sinclair has been a pro has been playing for the Canadian National Team since she was 16. Which is the reason why she has her goal scoring record that she has. I mean, so if there's anybody to learn from anyone from, it is the fact that you're playing alongside Christine Sinclair. So that is a great start for her career. And this is kind of where we were talking about a few episodes ago about the whole, you know, European teams are going to start trying to buy a bunch of players from across the world to improve their women's game over there. And yeah, this is kind of a sign as to why I'm not really that concerned with the NWSL it's going to continue to grow because of, you know, one, they have like a massive talent pool with the Women's College Soccer World. But I mean, now you're having this. Now that you changed the legal minimum age, I feel like you're going to see more signings, kind of, maybe not as young as this, but, you know, maybe like a 16-year-old, 17-year-old making those pro contract signings.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I mean, I guess if we can't make it with the men's team, fuck it. Like, we'll be happy with the like those young contract signings. Like, you don't really see those a lot with the men's and the MLS team.
There's some changes going on now. Like, I feel like you're seeing more younger players playing. I mean, you're seeing Kay Cowell, you're seeing Brandon, you know, you saw Brandon Aronson, you saw Caden Clark, you know, who's now is going to RB Leipzig. So there's American, at least male American players that are, you know, you're seeing younger MLS players now. I mean, that obviously wasn't the trend with the MLS because obviously it's the retirement league for a reason. But I mean, the NWSL.
Let's make it the young league.
Which I hope so. I mean, that would help out tremendously for the national team. But let's face it, the women's game has been, especially in America, has been great, and there's reasons why. And I think the Portland Thorns are trying to continue that, as now they have Olivia now with their team, and definitely someone to keep an eye on as she continues to develop in the pro game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think you're right. I'm following you on that one. We'll keep an eye on her, like, just to make sure, you know, everything's up with her.
Edward does have Paramount Plus now, so you can definitely catch those NWSL games.
Yeah. I'll try. Sometimes, you know, with the weekend and the kids, hardly ever catch anything.
Yeah, I get you.
All I get to watch is Cars or Big Hero 6 or even Toy Story now.
Are they finally watching Big Hero 6?
Yeah, Ike is, but Mateo, he's not so big on it. But they like to watch Buzz and Woody, so they've been watching Toy Story 2 actually a lot.
Anyways, game back on track. Tony Cruz retires from the German national team.
So,
are you going to say something? Or?
I mean, I'm not going to. Germany has a freaking squad in depth, so I'm just saying, like, I'm not gonna be like, I'm super shocked at who they're gonna get to replace him and everything like that.
No, we're not talking about his replacement. We're talking about the man's career.
I mean, he's had a illustrious career. I mean, shit, he's got a World Cup under his belt too. So,
I mean, I'm just saying, you're over here thinking about, like, oh, you know, it's okay. They got all, like, no, Tony Cruz, it's big. You know, he decided to retire after 106 caps for Germany. He's 31 years old. So, I mean, it's not so much of age, but I mean, he's just ready to focus more.
He's ready to call it, I guess. He's call it a day, national-wise.
No, yeah, that's exactly what it is, because he wants to focus more on Real Madrid. But more importantly, wants time with his family. You got to think about it. This guy has been playing for the German national team always. He's always, like, since his first call up, going all the way back when he, you know, at a younger Tony Cruz. But, like,
right,
you know, ever since he got called up with Germany, he's been part of their tournaments. He's been part of their call ups. And I mean, let's face it, that's a lot of summers. So when he's not playing for his club, Bayern Munich or Real Madrid, what's he doing? He's, you know, playing for Germany's national team, and obviously was part of that World Cup team, a pivotal part of that World Cup team.
Pivotal. I was going to tell you, but what about, like, okay, for example, he's been playing with that, you know, with that team for a long, long, long time. But since you're bringing up family, doesn't he bring his family with him on, like, certain tournaments, like international tournaments?
Yeah, but they don't see him as much. He has to go practice. He has to go train. He has press conference. Like, he just wants to focus on family.
Okay.
Dominic Toretto right now is probably, you know, having a joyful smile here in
family. There's probably another meme coming out of us. Dude, I'm getting tired of those memes, dog. I'm like, man, I love the Fast and the Furious franchise.
The Toretto family?
Yeah, bro. Oh, God, dude. They put Dragon Ball Z. They put Avatar, The Last Airbender. They put, God, like... They put the Avengers, like, Thanos is like, I'm inevitable. And he's like, you know what else is inevitable? Family. No, he's like, I was like, come on.
No, I'm inevitable. I was like, I have family. I got family.
There was one with three screens. There was one with three screens, and the second screen was like,
anyways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, so Tony Cruz's reason for retiring with he's had one hell of a career, obviously World Cup champion and everything like that. Now he just wants to focus on his club and more importantly, wants to just focus on his family. He wants to be there for his wife and kids. So, I mean, it's fair. You know, you're 31 years old. I mean, at this point, I think maybe the World Cup isn't that much of a realistic, on a realistic goal for him. I mean, at his position, but I mean, when you look at all the center midfielders that Germany has, I mean, it's fair for him to say that he probably won't be part of Germany's plans, especially with Hansi Flick being the new coach for Germany, because obviously Mo also is hanging it up. Dang, oh, you got me sick now.
I get transferred over to the fucking phone. You know, fuck.
Anyways, so. But I mean, you know, because with the new manager of Hansi Flick taking over Germany, I'm sure he's probably going to move on from certain players. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Mueller. But no, I mean, it's fair to say. And I think maybe because of that, he just wants to, he knows that maybe his time with Germany was at its end anyways. So he decided to get ahead of them before before they could do that to him. So, I mean, smart move for Toni Kroos. I mean, he's a very smart. He's very logical. He thinks, you know, he likes to be ahead of everything.
Just how he plays his football, man. Yeah, he's logical. Just how
he likes to be like five steps ahead of everybody. So I mean, it's Toni Kroos at his finest, and what an amazing career for him. He's retiring a World Cup champion. No one can take that away from him. And I mean, that's something that he always reminded everybody is that, hey, I won the World Cup. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Especially when it comes to those tweets where he goes against other soccer players.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he goes against. I mean, he obviously, like, I just think he's just very old-minded. But I mean, obviously, him and his beef with Aubameyang, that was spectacular. But anyways, yeah. So congratulations to Toni Kroos on just an amazing career with Germany. And I mean, you know, his career isn't over yet. So I mean, he's still gonna play. Yeah, just congratulations to him. And there were the last headline. Everton fans stirred in Rafa to not sign with Everton.
That's all fucking, what's it call it? Like threatening and shit. It kind of reminds me of that fucking, when, you know, I'm tripping, bro. Matt Schaub. The Texans, whenever he fucking they lost the fucking the playoffs and shit, and they fucking went to his house and shit, burning trash cans and shit in front of his house.
Oh, it wasn't because of the playoffs, man. No, it was that when he was throwing pick six.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, he currently holds the NFL record for. I think he still has the record. I don't know if it was like consecutive pick sixes.
I think it was. It was like six or seven of them.
I don't know if he still has it or Jameis Winston now has it. I'm not entirely sure. But anyways.
Well, okay. Anyways.
Sticking with our football. Rafa Benitez, who everybody now knows from listening to the coaching rumors, is now the manager of Everton. If you guys know Rafa Benitez, especially Kelsey and Liverpool fans, he was once the manager of Liverpool in a really good era of Liverpool, where you had CVG, you had Xabi Alonso, you had this one player. Obviously Jamie Carragher. There's this one.
I'm not going to say James Milner. Oh wait, I did. There you go.
Who's that? It was I want to say he was Dutch.
Oh no, Dirk Kuyt.
There we go. That guy. Anyways.
Dirk Kuyt. It was a Dirk Kuyt, Nino Torres.
Was he part of Liverpool's Champions League team? I don't think he was, was he?
I think he was. Ooh, I mean, you can double check. I mean, I would say that's Kelsey.
But it's called Google Edward, but It's literally called Google. I don't know why I have to like look up. And Edward has to.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, thanks for saying that out loud.
That's what you get for wasting all that goddamn time initially.
Well, let me tell you something.
Nah, you can hear the echo from the bathroom.
Man, fuck.
There we go. Okay. All right. So we're going to see the roster because I don't personally believe Nino Torres was in there, but I could be wrong. Maybe. No, he wasn't there. No, he was not. That's what I figured. So good.
So was he in Chelsea at that time?
In 2005.
Fuck, never mind.
The 2005 Liverpool team had Barros up top, had Cowell, Stevie Gerrard, Reese, Luis Garcia, Xabi Alonso, Traore at the left back spot, Hibia, Carragher, and Finan, and a goalkeeper that had Jerzy Dudek. So, yes, no, I think in 2005, Nino Torres was probably still with Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, he was probably still with Atletico.
So, there you go. Dang. Looking at this, man, like you had Deportivo La Coruña like in the Champions League.
Oh shit.
Man, it's crazy. Like time flies when you like. Yeah, man, wow. Just looking at these teams that were on this list. Bayer Leverkusen was a Champions League. Well, I mean they kind of were as well.
I mean, they've always been here and there, you know, with the Bayern,
And that year, PSV was in the semifinal.
I mean, PSV is a good team. I've considered them actually Champions League material. I just, you know.
Anyways, so.
Okay, let's just move on.
But anyway, so Rafa Benitez. You know, like I said, was part of Liverpool, was a former manager of Liverpool, a legendary manager for Liverpool. We kind of mentioned that before. But, you know, obviously, if you guys know anything about Liverpool and Everton, that's the Merseyside Derby. That is the rivalry because they're both in Liverpool. So they're crosstown rivals. And I guess fans aren't necessarily thrilled with the thought of a Liverpool guy being in charge of their club. So much so that they had signs outside of Rafa Benitez's home. And one of the signs actually said, "We know where you live. Don't sign."
The fuck? Oh, gosh.
And, I mean, clearly they know where he lived. They literally put it outside.
Well, clearly,
there.
I mean.
But, obviously Everton fans are just not happy having a former Liverpool manager there. But also kind of going back, there was Rafa Benitez ends up calling Everton a small club. And when Everton was insulted by that, his response was, "No, I wasn't referring to the team. I was referring to how they were playing." And it's like, great PR.
You are just digging yourself a bigger and bigger hole, sir.
But it doesn't matter. Rafa Benitez is the manager of Everton. It's going to be really interesting what happens with Everton. Just to see,
bro,
like,
what if he actually makes him get all the way to, like, let's say, even in the top four, just with by doing that, you know, even with those comments, bro. Like, I don't know. How would you feel? Okay. How would you feel if one of the managers, let's say a former Barcelona manager, is like, "Well, Real Madrid's, a lesser club, but I'm going to go ahead and manage it anyways." And then next thing you know, it's like they're in the league.
There was also a comment from when they were playing, when he was still with Liverpool. So this is like a way back comment that he made. So this isn't like, "Oh, recently he called them a small club." He called them when he used to still manage Liverpool. So, I mean, I guess if you're going to say that, I guess, like, I don't know, Luis Enrique seems like the one that would be kind of the one that talks more shit than any of the recent managers.
Wow.
I mean, he straight up, like, he called up no Real Madrid. I mean, to be fair, there's no like start, like looking at the starting 11 for Real Madrid right now. It's not like there's like a lot of Spanish players in there, but but I mean, like, I'll just use the example of Luis Enrique. If you were to call Real Madrid a small club, I mean, and then somehow ends up becoming the manager of Real Madrid, I wouldn't necessarily be thrilled about it because I mean, the guy just basically was dogging on my team. But I mean, it, you know, there's a vacancy. You need to fill that vacancy for your team. And I, you know, Rafa Benitez has looked good with Newcastle United. So I mean, you know, if he could do that with Newcastle, let's see what he can do at Everton, who looked really good in the second year with Ancelotti.
Yeah. So okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully Rafa is able to cool things down with the Everton fans. Maybe say some nice things about Everton. Maybe invite that girl. Maybe invite that girl that made the music video about Liverpool. Like maybe that's how you win their hearts.
What if he goes and says like something dumb like I like their blue jerseys, and like he does something stupid like yeah I like Liverpool jerseys.
I don't think Rafa Benitez is that stupid.
Apparently, if he's it's a small club, and then next you know, he's like, no, I was talking about the way they play. Oh, come on, dude. Like, all right, so come on, man.
Maybe you have something there, but we'll see. But yeah, so those are the headlines. Now we're debate time, even though you wanted to get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, I did.
So,
blame it on me.
Jesus Christ, Edward. Today, you're just something else today. Anyways, so. For our debate topics, obviously, it is dropped now on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. You're going to see the post. And you can go ahead and share us your thoughts. And if you guys have an idea for a future debate topic that you want us to debate on, well, if you put it in either you can put it on the post or you can send it to us on a personal message. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm being sick, bro. I'm being sick.
You can send us a personal message once again on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. And if we like the debate topic, we'll feature it on a future episode and give you a shout out on that episode. And of course, when we post it on social media. So today's topic, even though once again Edward wanted to get ahead of himself, and I was trying to get him to shut up, but he wouldn't take the hint. Or apparently he doesn't read these timelines.
I don't read between the lines, sir.
Anyway, so today's debate topic is, where does Messi go?
And well, I already said
you pick your team and you state your case. So reiterated.
So you want me to go first? Since I'm already decided? All right. So basically, I think PSG. PSG has the money. PSG has the position to be able to actually offer Messi what he wants or what he even, let's say, what he wants to do, play, you know what I mean? Like he's in the position to actually go to PSG and nothing's going to be wrong. Like, let's put it this, PSG has basically like, oh, if you want a house, we'd give you a house. If you want the car, we'd give you the car. If you want this money, we'll give you the money. If you want to be captain, they will go ahead and, you know, actually give him the captaincy. Which I really don't know. Actually, you know what?
No, I don't think they would give him the captaincy. I think with Marquinhos there.
Okay. Well, okay. I was about to ask you too, real quick. Do you think they might give the captaincy to Sergio Ramos?
Not with Marquinhos there. Marquinhos has earned his right to be the captain of PSG. I feel that would be disrespectful to Marquinhos. Like, it's one thing if you don't have an established captain. But I think Marquinhos has earned that right to be the captain of PSG. If you want to go there, all right, let's say Messi stayed at Barcelona, and then they somehow managed to get Robert Lewandowski. Do you give Robert Lewandowski the captaincy?
Not really, bro.
Exactly. So there you go. Lawyer.
Hello. Oh, gosh. Here we go with this shit.
Lawyer. But anyways, sticking with your whole PSG.
So I think well, with the whole super team thing going on and everything, all these, let's put it this way, the super team of this age with all these superstar players, all these really expensive players, I'm not going to say Mbappe is going to stick around because we already talked about it. Maybe Messi. I think PSG would be the best option for him. I mean, everybody said there's been a rumor since Kun has joined Barcelona. Even Man City was a rumor that, you know, Pep wanted him and he wanted to play with him again. It's a lot of speculation, but I think PSG is in the most solidified position to be able to get Messi to come around.
Okay.
So, I mean, money-wise, notoriety as well. Just that itself, and the players that can actually help him. I mean, you got Di Maria, and you got Neymar. You got, I'm not going to say Mbappe, but let's say as a striker, they could probably get somebody else. And if anything, they also have the whole, hey, we're going to go after Ronaldo kind of shit. I think it's possible that PSG actually can make that super team happen. So far, I mean, you heard me earlier. I'm like, oh, we know them. Oh, it's Sergio Ramos. Like, I'm all fucking excited and shit.
Okay. All right. So your stance is PSG.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys have heard me already say this a few times now, but I'm gonna make a stance that I think Messi will stay at Barcelona. And the reason why I think that he'll stay at Barcelona, I just think he loves Barcelona too much. Like, Barcelona has done so much for him. The club has so much significance to him. And obviously now there's no more Bartomeu. Like, I feel like if Bartomeu was still there, I would say that Messi would not come back. But you have Laporta. And I think Laporta is a guy that Messi does have respect for. And I mean, I believe Messi voted for him anyways. You guys can take for what you want for Koeman, but Messi has said some nice things about Koeman, but maybe that's Messi's way of not trying to be a dick. But I mean, and then he likes the young players there. You see him having fun with Ansu Fati, with Sergino Dest, with you know, Trincao and Pedri. Pedri looking like, you know, like the second coming of that, the midfield. But I think that the club just means too much for Messi. I think Barcelona just means too much. Like, the city, not just the club, but the city of Barcelona just means so much to Messi. And so, like, for me, I think they're going to find a way to secure Messi. I think they're going to find a term, and I think Messi's is going to stay put at Barcelona.
Okay. I mean, I see that happening as well. But you know what's funny? Like, it goes to show you how Messi's playing style has grown over the years, even at this age that he's at. You know what I mean? Like, in the Copa America, you know, like, you see it when he goes and plays internationally, all of a sudden he'll just take on one player, two players, and I'm just like, damn, like, he can still do that? Like, sometimes you don't see it in the Spanish league. Like, sometimes you don't see that shit going on in the Spanish league. It's just, I guess, the difference of elite, I guess you could say, the elite with La Liga compared to people who play in South American teams and just in leagues, maybe in the lower division teams of England, Germany maybe. So it's just, it goes to show you, like, he still has it. It's just, you know, he doesn't do too much of showing off about it. He'll go ahead and pass the ball. He'll do more assists, if anything. You know, so I guess it's maybe the wisdom of age, or I don't know, maybe he feels his body actually does slow down. So he'll go ahead and, you know, take it down a notch. But I mean, you're right. It's possible, like, he'll just stick around and try to help develop, like, Ansu Fati and stuff like that. So, but I mean, like I said, I think it's possible for the PSG super squad to be with Messi and that.
No, I mean, you know, it could happen. It's just, I don't know. I guess with me, I just think that somehow they're going to work things out. Okay. I guess it's my Ross and Rachel.
We were on a break.
Anyways. All right, guys. So that's the debate topic. Tell us what you guys think. Like I said, it's already posted on social media. So once again, on Instagram and Twitter @InsertNameFC. share us your thoughts, tell us what you think. And if you guys want to be featured on a future episode, just give us a debate topic. And if we like it, we'll feature it and even give you a shout out. So there's that. All right, Edward. So we're going to take a break and we'll get going with game recaps.
Hey, it's Hector.
Yo, this is Edward.
And we are Insert Name FC.
Listen to us discuss news, recaps, and preview games from across the world of soccer.
Catch us on unhingedsn.com.
Hello.
We will see you there.
And we are back. Once again, take full advantage of those partners of ours. And yeah, so we can stop doing this in on Zoom calls and in my bedroom. So we can actually do this in a legitimate studio, or we can build our own studio.
And we can have some better acoustics in our rooms.
Better acoustics, and maybe have Spencer here.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so awesome, bro. I would love to have him here physically. Like, bro, I don't say this a lot. But I fucking love Spence. Like, Spence does so much for us. I feel
his reaction to our reaction of Barry White was very hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah. I kind of feel like, honestly, just saying that, I feel like singing, you know, like I feel like saying, my darling.
Anyways, but yeah, maybe we'll do an episode where Spencer's with us. Hopefully we can do that one day. Yeah. I know he has his schedule, but maybe we can work something around where we can have Spencer actually with us. You know, we don't know where he's at soccer wise, but so entertain nonetheless. But anyways. Edward, games to recap. What's your game to recap?
All right, so my game to recap is actually the Brazil versus Chile game. So that one was actually a pretty good match. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. And Brazil actually beat Chile 1-0. Ironically, Chile had the 59% of the possession, and Chile outshot Brazil 11-10. So that was, it should have been basically in Brazil's bag. Like, it should have been, that's it. Like, it should have been Brazil. But, or I'm sorry, it should have been Chile. I mean, sorry, I'm tripping. But there was also a red card on Gabriel Jesus. So, yeah, and I saw that kick. I mean, what do you think, Hector? Do you think that was a red card?
I mean, the guy smarter kicked him.
No, he did. I'm going to be honest. He did. I thought it was a red card. It's just, I felt like he was
There's no debate
ball.
On that, man. There's no debate. Cleats were up.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was going for the ball. It's
regardless, man. Like, cleats are up. That's an automatic. Like, if your studs are showing, it's automatic. Like, there's, to me, like, as soon, like, you can maybe try to spin zone it in some way. The goal, he was trying to make contact with the ball. And I mean, you have that's a fair point, but like, studs are up. Like, no matter, even if he didn't make any contact with him, like, I would still give that a red.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying,
weirdly enough, what's with Gabby Jesus and these red cards, man? Because, you know, he pulled the same shit in the 2019 Copa America final as well. Not that he did the same thing, but I mean, he got a red card in the final. And Brazil managed to still win. But I think at that point, the game was already all for naught. But I think it was a red card. I don't think there's any way you can, like, spin zone it for think that it's not.
I can't spin zone it for you because I'm not trying to. I was just asking a legitimate question if you think it's a red card or not. I think it was a red card, but I do think he was actually trying to go for the ball. It's just, his foot was still too high.
Intent's irrelevant when you still make contact with a player and your cleat and your studs are up.
Like, yeah. I mean,
if he made contact, if his studs weren't up, I mean, that's probably like a foul, maybe a yellow card, but like, once you have the studs showing, that's gonna be a red card.
Yeah, no matter what, bro. I mean, I agree with you. It's just, even so, my the view of it all is, even if he had, like, let's say I mean, that's kind of stupid to say studs down, but it, like, the tip of his foot, even at that high.
If he was making, if he was doing a regular sliding, it wasn't really a regular sliding tackle, but I mean,
it wasn't even like, a slide tackle.
He was, I mean, like, if he was going with the approach of how you should be trying to tackle a player, then yeah, your foot's down. You don't have your studs up. Like, as long as if he did that, I would say you can make an argument that it shouldn't be a card, maybe a warning. But, you know, if there is a card, it'll just be a yellow. It would not have been a red card. But, like, that's the thing that's literally the difference between making it from a red card to a yellow card or a warning is just the fact that he had the studs up.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And personally, I've experienced
that the intent is regardless. Like, no matter what the intent was that Gabby Jesus was doing, which was pursuing the ball, like, that's irrelevant to what he did. Because I mean, if his studs weren't showing and he went for that tackle, then you can make the argument, well, he was clearly pursuing the ball. But you know, that argument disappears as soon as you have your studs up.
No. Like I said, I agree with you. I do. There's nothing really much to talk about. I was just saying, I've been on the receiving end of that, like a cleat to the face. Mm-hmm. It sucked. It really sucked. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And yeah, I felt the fucking side of my face swell up. And I was just still like, yeah, I'm fine. And when the game was over and everything, they told me that the left side of my face was fucking swollen as fuck. I honestly didn't know what to do. Of course, I didn't go after the dude. Like, I just left it alone.
It's not a fun experience, man. Like, anywhere in your body, if you make contact with, like, the studs, it's going to suck. Like, I mean, if it hits your ankle, it's going to hurt like hell. If it hits your knee, it hurts like hell. If it hits your thigh, it hurts like hell. If it hits your face, it hurts like hell. So, I mean, like, it's going to hurt. Like, it's cleats. I mean, yeah, for some people's cases, it's just plastic. But I mean, some people use metal cleats.
No, that's the thing. I'm glad it was those plastic, the bottom of the plastic shit. I was glad it was that. But dude, if it would have been metal cleats, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know if I'd be standing here right now being able to actually talk to you. I'd be like,
I don't think anybody that we play with can afford the metal cleats.
No, that's the thing.
I get what you mean. But yeah, anyways, going back to the game.
Okay, going back to the game. Sorry. I kind of went overboard on that one. The goal that was scored, the only goal in the game, was scored by Lucas Paqueta. So yeah, that one, I mean, it was a significant goal, being that 1-0 win. So that made him go up to the semifinals.
And speaking of the semifinal, the game just finished with Brazil and Peru, and Brazil beat Peru, so they're going on to the final. So that's we know one half of the final what's going to be, but player to score the goal, Lucas Paqueta.
Again? Wow. So, shit.
So man,
props to him. Props to him, bro. Props
he's definitely closing this tournament really good. So, you know, obviously they want to finish this with a trophy. Interesting to see, because on the other side you have Colombia and Argentina, which my game to recap, which is a good segue for this one, is Colombia beating Uruguay 0-0, 4-2 in penalties.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, on that one, I have to say David Ospina was the key factor.
We'll get to Ospina. Anyways, so Colombia. So
what's your game to recap?
I just mentioned that this was my game to recap.
I know. Sorry.
Anyways, Colombia had 51% of the possession. Colombia also outshot Uruguay 9-7. This game was closely contested. This was an amazing game. Yes, the score was 0-0, but fuck you. That was a great game. I loved every minute of it. I enjoyed this match thoroughly. Extra time was dramatic. Everything that you... This is what you want in these tournaments, is these like tough battles to see who's going to be the one that makes the mistake. No one made a mistake. Everyone ended up covering themselves very well. And the fact that it went to penalties, I mean, this is how a game this good should be going to. But unfortunately, even though it's a guy I see very highly, Fernando Muslera just couldn't do it today as he gave up 4 goals. And Daniel Ospina, the former Arsenal guy, ends up coming up with 2 clinical stops to advance Colombia onto the semifinal. So we'll find out who comes out, Colombia or Argentina. You guys will already know because obviously this episode drops on Friday. And, you know, who will be playing on that final on Saturday.
Yeah, so it's pretty intense. I mean, okay, so on this one, on the final, kind of had to put my shit with Brazil. I'm sorry. But if you're going for Colombia. So
what?
I have to put my shit with Brazil. I have to put my shit with Brazil. Wait, like I have to put my
wait, Colombia versus Brazil?
Yeah.
So Colombia beats Argentina?
Oh wait, hold on. Brazil versus Argentina. That's how I see the final. Sorry. The alcohol is taking over.
I was like, whoa, I mean, Colombia could beat Argentina.
I'm trying to rub your head like no homo, but I'm just trying to like pet your head.
So you heard it here, folks. Colombia's gonna beat Argentina. So Saturday the final is gonna be Brazil versus Colombia. So get ready for this game because I'm gonna be ready for this game.
Alcohol's kicking my ass, huh?
All right. But yeah, so these were 2 great semifinal games to go to decide who's gonna go to the semifinal. Obviously, once again, you know we record these on Mondays. So the semifinals, we already mentioned one of the semifinals already happened, like just now as we were talking. Tomorrow we'll have the other semifinal. And then obviously Saturday we will know who will be in the final. But we don't know that yet, but you will. We won't, but you will, the listener. But anyway, yes. Players of the weekend.
We got plural.
Players of the weekend.
All right, so my player of the week is... scores the game winner in Denmark's 2-1 win against the Czech Republic. Wait, what? No, wait. Oh, whoa.
Okay,
my player of the week is Harry Kane. He scored 2 goals in England's 4-0 win against Ukraine. Now, mind you, I did think Ukraine stood a chance against England. Zinchenko
I did not. I don't know what people were talking about and that Ukraine had a good shot at upsetting England. I was like,
No. That's the thing. I think they were really relying a lot on Zinchenko for Zinchenko to pull out some random, he's going to score like 2 goals and they're going to be able to withstand that or something, like some corner kick or even a shot from the outside kind of stuff. I mean, Zinchenko has the ability. It's just, you're playing against this England team that is just, like you said, it's rediscovering itself.
Look, did they have a great game against Sweden? Yes, I completely agree. Ukraine had an amazing game against Sweden. But I didn't think Lightning was going to strike twice for them. I thought that was just their moment. That was their first win in a knockout round. So, I mean, like, is Ukraine good? Like, yeah, sure. They're a good team. They have good players. They have great quality players. But I just think that the confidence that England just got from beating Germany, a team that they have struggled against, and beat them very comfortably, a 2-0 win, you knew that they had all the confidence in the world, and you know the iron is hot right now for England. There's a reason why they were my favorites going into this tournament, and finally they're living up to it because the group stages was yikes. And even then, it wasn't bad. I mean, they have yet to conceive. I mean, knock on wood. I mean, hopefully, I'm not gonna be eating these words, but I mean, there's a reason why England was my favorite going into this tournament. I liked everything that this team had, the just the players that they have overall, what they have in this roster, and I mean, they brought it on this game. Everything that you wanted to see from England happened in this game. You know, and of course, Harry Kane, your guy up top, comes up with two goals. So, I mean, this is what you want England to be doing, especially going into a semifinal.
I mean, I agree with you, bro. Like, I do. Sorry. I was about to sneeze and then I just kind of held it in.
Okay.
But no, I agree with you. I mean, England is basically right now, I think, with all the youth talent it has, and I guess the experience that youth team has, because I think even the announcer himself said that each player of that team has about 100 games in the Premier League experience. Each player does, or the majority of those players. So that in that aspect, it kind of makes them a veteran in their own way, even if they're like 21, 22, 23.
I mean Premier League experience, like the pro experience is great, but I mean, international is just a different ballgame. And this team, yeah, it is. Honestly, it is.
Especially, most of them play together, or even against each other in the Premier League.
Because they're still building off of what they did in the World Cup. And I mean, you still have like some of the same players. You still have Harry Kane. You still have Raheem Sterling. You still have Jordan Pickford. Like, you still have like some players from that 2018 team. And then you add on like even more talent from those 2 years. You know, adding a Phil Foden, having a Jack Grealish, having a Saka, having, you know, like this team got better. And so, you know, kind of going back to that phrase, you know, if not getting better, you're getting worse. And England got better. The issue was just having them finally just play and Southgate putting them in the right position. And I mean, this isn't me criticizing Southgate, because I think Southgate's a great manager. So this was all my concerns, that at least from the group stages, was answered from how England's been playing now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna be with you on that one. So, putting my hands up, saying, "Yep, I agree."
Okay. If you say so. Anyways,
I dropped my phone.
Anyways, so my player of the week is Kasper Dahlberg, who scores the game-winning goal in Denmark's 2-1 win against the Czech Republic. This is what Edward was talking about earlier. But yeah,
I'm so sorry, bro.
Kasper Dahlberg having back-to-back games where he scored goals. Obviously, we're talking about the game that they had against who did Denmark play before this? It was literally one of my games to recap from last week. Anyways, doesn't matter. Beat him. Wales. That's how forgettable I think Wales is. But yeah, so Denmark, you know, continuing to ride what they're having right now, which hopefully it keeps going, but it's a tall task because they got to go up against England. The final four, I love this final four, by the way. The, you know, England versus Denmark, and you have Italy versus Spain. I feel like I will not be disappointed with any of these teams going into the final.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denmark looks great. I mean, I'm gonna ride with England, but that's because I, you know, I picked them from the beginning. But I think this is gonna be a good one nonetheless. So I can't wait. Once again, it's Monday. We don't know who's in the final. You guys know who's in the final. We don't know who's in the final, but at least we hope we know who's gonna be in the final. But yeah, so there's that.
Basically, Hector's saying that it's a premonition, kind of. Like, that's his guess, and we're going to make it. So,
okay. All right, Edward. So, congratulations to Harry Kane, who's, can't believe to say this, this is his first time appearing as one of our players of the week. And Kasper Dahlberg. Yeah. Well, you constantly pick Erling Haaland and Robert Lewandowski.
and yeah, that's pretty much it. Damn.
Which they're both tied right now. So,
I know.
Maybe Messi's in third with three votes, but yeah, It's gonna be interesting to decide how we decide the Rose Bowl Spencer Player of the Year award. How we're gonna we'll have people vote for it. But anyways,
ooh, so, could we have Spencer? We have Spencer sing, like kind of like at the end. Could he do the "Never Gonna Give You Up" song?
I mean, it's pre-recorded, so I mean, he can probably play it again. Man. I mean, you want Spencer to use that as the outro again? I mean, it's not that. It's not a difficult time. Anyways. Congratulations to Hurricane and Casper Dolber for being our Players of the Week. All right, Edward. This weekend kicks off the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup. For those of you who do not know what the Gold Cup is, so, you know, obviously we've been covering the Euros and Copa America. You know, Euros is UEFA's tournament and Copa America is CONMEBOL's tournament. The Gold Cup is the CONCACAF's tournament. This is the, you know, the countries that fall under CONCACAF and with Qatar. So here it is. So we're going to cover the prelim rounds. So for the first round of the prelims, you had Haiti beating St. Vincent and the Grenadines 6-1. Sorry, Dominic Rich. Bermuda beat Barbados 8-1. Good God.
Well, it sounds like you're surprised.
Barbados limp.
Oh, man.
I love Futurama.
All right, Henry's Conrad.
Guatemala beats Guyana 4-0. At least there's that going for them. Guadalupe beats Bahamas 2-0. Trinidad Tobago beat Montserrat 6-1. Jesus Christ. And Cuba has a forfeit to French Guiana because I believe someone couldn't get on the plane. By default, they got eliminated. All right. So for the round two of prelims, you have Haiti versus Bermuda, Guatemala versus Guadalupe, and Trinidad and Tobago versus French Guiana. I'm going to check right now to see if there's any updates with that because I don't know if they're playing right now or what. So just to make sure we have all the most up-to-date information for you guys as I'm searching here. It would be nice to talk right now, but you know, it's okay. No, nothing against you.
Nah, you're good, bro. You're good, bro.
Nope. Okay. So no, they still have not played yet. They will be playing on Tuesday. So you guys will know what happened, but we don't. But anyways, Edward, if you were to make a prediction, Haiti versus Bermuda, who you got? It's okay to go for the boring picks. I know. I mean,
I said Haiti.
Haiti. I'm also
because the only reason why is because I've only seen them play. I haven't seen Bermuda.
I mean, Haiti for me is because Etienne Jr. looks amazing. Right now, he plays for Columbus Crew. But yeah, Etienne Jr. But yeah, Haiti, I think they're one that always competes in Gold Cup. So I wouldn't shock me for them to be back in there. Guatemala versus Guadalupe. What's crazy to think, man, if looking back at it, Guadalupe has made a semifinal appearance in the Gold Cup. But I'm going to go with Guatemala. I mean, they had a very solid win against Guyana, I think. I think maybe I'm doing this also because, you know, I have a soft spot for my brother-in-law who is Guatemalan and my nieces are half Guatemalan. So I'm picking Guatemala. And also they got some pretty nice jerseys. So, but yeah, so I got Guatemala. What do you got, Edward?
I'll go for Guatemala too, just because of that. Okay. and then have friends with it.
And then the last game is Trinidad and Tobago versus French Guiana.
All right.
I'm gonna say Trinidad and Tobago.
Trinidad and Tobago does have a pretty good run every now and again when it comes to Copa Oro. Sometimes they end up surprising us.
Mm-hmm. And I like so, some of the players that they have. They have like Molino. They got some good players in Trinidad and Tobago. So yeah. But that is a prelim game. So the winners of those games will go into joining groups A, B, and C, depending where they drew in. And so here are the groups for the group stages. So in Group A, we'll kick off on Saturday, Mexico, El Salvador, Curaçao, and then the winner of the Trinidad, Tobago, and French Guiana game. Edward, who's your favorite to win this group?
I do. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay, to be fair though, Mexico is coming in with a. Okay, I hate using that they're bringing in a B team, but yeah, they're kind of using a B. The B team's still pretty good. I mean, USA's B team is still pretty good. But yeah. there's some concerns in the midfield for me.
Well, you go first then. How about that?
Okay.
And then I'll go.
For me, Mexico. I think Mexico, even with the players that they have in their roster, I think it's still better than El Salvador, no offense to El Salvador. I think El Salvador can make it out of the group stages though. I definitely feel comfortable about that.
True.
But I wouldn't sleep on Curaçao because Curaçao has gotten better and better each tournament. So that's another team to be on the lookout, especially with their goalkeeper, Eloy Room. But for me, I think Mexico wins the group. It just...
Okay.
I like Mexico's chances with this group.
Right. All right. I mean, I agree with you. Mexico is probably the one to win in Group A.
All right. In Group B, you have USA, Canada, Martinique, and the winner of the Haiti and Bermuda game.
I guess I'll give it to USA just because I want USA to win.
I'm gonna go a little different. Okay, I do like the call. Yeah. Well, there is some concerns that I have with the US men's call up, and Canada has a pretty solid call up. Like looking at their roster, you know, obviously Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Ayo Akinola, which hurts me to say that. But Ayo Akinola's for Canada. I think Canada wins the group.
Okay.
So I think USA still advances, but I think Canada wins it. Maybe like by goal differential. Maybe they'll draw in their game against each other. But I think Canada probably just because you know it's a very different US men's national team as well. Kind of different, but not really. But yeah, still different nonetheless. So I mean, you know what? I take it back. USA is gonna win. I think Daryl DK is that big of an X factor. So no, never mind. I take that back. USA wins it.
Okay. So even you agree with me.
All right. In Group C, there is Costa Rica, Jamaica, Suriname, and the winner of Guatemala and Guadalupe.
Those are pretty. I don't know. I'm between Costa Rica and Jamaica.
I am as well, but I'm going to go with Jamaica.
Jamaica has a speed player. I'll say Costa Rica.
Okay. All right. And then Group D, it has Honduras, Panama, Grenada, and Qatar.
This one's pretty hard, actually. No. I'll take it back. I want to say Honduras.
Honduras?
Yeah.
I think Honduras wins that group. I think Panama is definitely one to watch. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see Qatar. I've never really... I mean, besides the 2019 Copa America, I have never really seen Qatar, aside from that. So, but yeah. So, looking at these groups, who's your pick for Group of Death?
Group of Death. The Group of Death, I want to say, you know what? USA, the Group E, USA, Canada, Martinique, and Haiti, Bermuda.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Group D. I think Honduras, Panama, Grenada, and Qatar. I think it's just because I feel like it's a little bit harder to pick who's gonna win there. Because you know my thought process is not necessarily like the best teams. It's just it's a hard group to pick who wins is my definition of group of death. So that's why I'm going with. Okay. I think Group D is the group of death. Now going into this, who is your favorite to win the Gold Cup?
To win the Gold Cup, pretty hard to choose, honestly. I mean, it's, I want to say a lot of these teams are actually fairly even, and then some of them actually do surprise me. So it's kind of hard to say. I want to say U.S., but at the same time, it's like I already know Mexico does have a squad to stop them. Costa Rica, Jamaica, Honduras, like those teams. And personally, like Qatar, like I don't know what to expect to them, from them, honestly.
I think what's interesting is the fact that Mexico had a call up Funes Mori. And I like how they bash the U.S. national team for having dual citizens. And then they're over here getting Funes Mori. Just saying. Just saying.
Nah. Well, I guess Mexico is probably the favorite to win.
I mean, for me, I think I want to go with the U.S. I like certain things of the team that the team has. Part of me wants to say Canada. Like, I don't know why. I look at Canada and I think like maybe this could be the year that they take advantage of a I guess you could say a B team for Mexico and USA. Like maybe this is the one time that maybe USA and Mexico can't just get away with using a B team. Because I think the way Canada looks, I mean Costa Rica, I mean yeah they're not the same team from years before, but they're still looking good. Jamaica is still a pretty solid team. Honduras, Panama, there's some teams in there that I think like have gotten better over the years. And I think especially Canada. I think Canada is definitely that team that has like massively improved. And I think it's just because of all the players that are now playing in Europe. So I think that maybe this is the year. Canada could win their second Gold Cup. I think I'm going to say Canada. I'll go with Canada. They're not going to win Group B, but I think they'll end up winning the whole thing.
Okay.
So everybody's over here like, what the fuck? But anyways. Yeah, so I got Canada winning the whole thing. I don't know what it is. Canada has given me some weird feelings right now. Maybe it's because Iowa Canola is there. I don't know. But I like Canada. But yeah, so.
Okay.
That is the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup final. Gold Cup preview. I really can't wait for this tournament. I love the CONCACAF. It's a physical confederation, but I love it nonetheless because that's the confederation that we're a part of. So, yeah, there is that. All right, guys, there's some games you should be looking into this weekend. Obviously, I mean, I don't feel like we have to mention this, but let's just go ahead and put it out there. You know, Saturday, July 10th, Copa America final. We know Brazil's in it. That's it. And, as of right now, we know Brazil's in it. We don't, everything's Colombia or Argentina.
I think the final's going to be Argentina-Brazil.
You think it's going to be Argentina-Brazil? And who wins?
Yeah. Argentina.
Oh, so Messi finally wins his international.
Finally wins that international. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Brazil Argentina as well. But I'm gonna go with Brazil winning it. Brazil has yet to have lost when they hosted. So I think that continues. Apparently, the streak ends. Anyways, so Sunday, July 11th is the Euro final. Edward, who do you think is in the final?
Break my balls, man. You're breaking my balls. No, I'm just kidding with you. England. I know England for sure. I want to say England, Italy.
England, Italy? All right, and then who you got winning it?
England.
So it's coming home. Yeah.
It's coming home.
It's coming home. Have you not been hearing the English fans chants?
No, not really. So
if you're chanting, it's coming home. You know,
I'm going home.
No,
because place where I belong.
Edward, stop. Anyways, no, it's because like obviously. That's where a lot of people deem that's where soccer came from was England, even though it's been proven that it's in China, that China was the one that created the game. But, so that's why everybody's been chanting it's coming home because, you know, that's where football was born.
Okay.
Wow, that worked. Anyways, but yeah, so, no, I agree with you as well. I think it's going to be Italy versus England. And I mean, I got to ride with England. They're my pick from the beginning. So I'm going to stick with England, having them beat Italy. So I hope that that's the final. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we are recording this on Monday. You guys are going to hear this on Friday. So by the time this drops, we already know who's in the final. But we don't know yet. But you guys know it. And by the time we listen to this, we now know it. All right. And then, of course, I mean, the 2001 CONCACAF Gold Cup is going to kick off. So July 10th, obviously, Mexico versus, I think it's hopefully not El Salvador. I don't want to start things with Mexico. I really don't. I just, like, can we just not start with Mexico? No, we're playing Curacao. So Mexico is going to play the winner of the prelim game.
All right.
But anyways, so yeah. So Saturday kicks off the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And there's no MLS games coming up this weekend, but there is some NWSL action. And the two games that I feel like, you know, last week they both panned out very well. So I'm going to keep this writing. So the two games that I think you guys should watch is the Washington Spirit, who has Trinity Rodman and a boatload of other great, amazing players like Rose Lavelle. Or actually, well, she's an Olympic qualifier, so she's probably not going to be there. Versus the North Carolina Courage. I don't know if Lynn Williams made the Olympic squad, but if she did not, then we're going to see Trinity Rodman versus Lynn Williams. So I think that's a good one to watch. And then the Chicago Red Stars versus the Houston Dash. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit biased on the last pick, but I think it's going to be a good one nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, those sound like pretty good games.
Yeah, hopefully you watch them.
But, yeah, right. Yeah, anyway. I get a chance. Sir.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and take one more break, and then we'll get going with our three up, three down.
Hey, it's Hector.
Yo, this is Edward.
And we are Insert Name FC.
Listen to us discuss news, recaps, and preview games from across the world of soccer.
Catch us on unhingedsn.com on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Time.
We will see you there.
And we're back after, good God, two attempts to try to get this going.
Okay, look, let me tell you something. I started laughing. I'm sorry, okay? And then I was like, I'm ready. And then it was like, as soon as the recording started, you would literally hear that.
That was the
ready.
Second one. The first one, you wanted to go ahead and bust out a chorus. Anyways, good God. All right, 3-0, three down, Edward. And that is the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup jerseys.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, with the Euros and Copa America, they actually had a website that had an article of all the jerseys that were going to be featured in the tournament. Apparently, no one cares about the Gold Cup. So I had to actually like go and scavenge for the jerseys of every team, including the teams that are in the prelims. So you guys better appreciate all the work I put in. Not you, the listeners. Just Edward specifically, just because, God, yeah, that was a journey. But anyways, all right. So as Edward's trying to figure out his jerseys, I'm going to go ahead and start with mine. So to kick off for my three down, I have Guyana. I just don't know with that jersey, bro. It's like, I just don't know, man. It's just plain to me. Like, it's cool. Like, you know, the designs are kind of cool, but it's like, it's not like enough to like, still like, I'm like, it's just not an appealing jersey to me. And that's why it's there. And then at number two, I have Curacao. And honestly, it's just cause it's like, it's a plain blue jersey. That's really what it is. It's a Nike jersey, but it's just straight up just a blue jersey. And then the Curacao badge is there. I mean, there's like no design. And I mean, it's crazy because it's a Nike design. I mean, it's a Nike. So you would imagine they would have had some sort of design with it. But no, it's just a plain blue jersey.
Okay.
And at number one, I have the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, of course. Actually, can I copy your list? Because that legit is the one I was looking at right now. Like, the legit list.
So, like, my whole three down is your three down?
Yeah. Because, dude, that U.S. team, oh my Lord. Like, that shirt. Like, I know we're talking about the same one, that blue and red one. It's
so tacky. Like when they dropped, I remember posting it on our group chat, and I remember you, me, and Spencer were just kind of like I'm not buying this jersey. Like I'm just be straight with you. I'm not buying this jersey. This jersey sucks. Like there's certain U.S. men's jerseys that I stand by and saying I think they're fucking disgusting, and that's one of them. That one and then the Waldo jerseys are the two jerseys I despise.
Yeah,
and congratulations the Where's Waldo jersey, because you're now officially not the worst jersey the U.S. men's national team has ever had, in my opinion. I know some people love the Where's Waldo jerseys, but I hated it. I think it's just because I also hate horizontal stripes. And then also that one weird Gold Cup jersey, the blue and the red horizontal stripes with the stars on the shoulders, that was also pretty bad.
Okay, so my thing is with the horizontal stripes, I'm okay with those. I'm not excited about
It's because you're not fat, Edward. That's why.
Okay, but anyways, it's just the one with the multiple stripes where it crisscrosses and stuff. That right there, it's
too busy. It's just too busy. Like, there's just too much going on. Man. Like,
bro,
where's the number going to be, by the way? Like, the front number. Where is that?
No, I mean, that they're just going to shove that on there. They're just literally going to press it on there. It's not going to be anything. Doesn't matter.
But that counts towards the aesthetic. I mean, the look of the jersey. Because wherever they put that, that's still going to ruin the... I mean, the jersey already looks like shit to begin with. But where you put that front number, that's also going to be a factor.
The only thing I can think of is that either one, they're gonna put a square of just the red or the blue right at the front and then just put the number in there, or two,
both options sound terrible.
I know, exactly. I agree with you. That's why I want
to copy and
paste your three down, because it's just
like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, basically with that jersey.
Pretty much, dude. Even the back, bro. Even if they decide to do that with the back, it's just gonna be a giant square.
But the back is just straight blue. Like the back is just blue. It's just like it's blue in the back. That's not gonna be an issue. It's just the front is terrible.
It doesn't make sense. It's a practice jersey.
It looks like a practice.
It looks like one of those training jerseys.
Like you can go crazy with the training jersey. Like you can do some crazy design because no one cares about it. But I say that with hesitance, because I know the MLS comes up with some cool practice jerseys for special events. But we're talking about for like a national team jersey. Like that's a training top. Like that. That is like, okay, we'll do this off the wall thing and we'll throw the Volkswagen logo in front of it. But like I think they should have just stuck with the white and then the blue one, even though a lot of people don't like that other blue one because it doesn't make sense. I mean, I think it's supposed to represent the rivers, the two rivers in the U.S. I don't know, man.
I don't even know. They're probably supposed to represent the highway.
It represents the construction in Houston freeways.
I don't even know, man. I really don't know.
All right, so since you're going to copy my three down, I mean, once again, it's Guyana, Curaçao, and the U.S. All right, so my three up. Maybe Edward has a different three up this time. So my three up, at number three, I have Guatemala. Like, I don't know what it... Umbro just like killed it for this one, man. Like, both jerseys look great to me. Like the away jersey, the navy blue with that powder blue just pops. You know, obviously right across the chest, kind of like the traditional look for a Guatemalan jersey. And then even the home jersey is a traditional look. You know, you're gonna have that blue, that blue vertical stripe across the chest. But I love the design on that stripe. For the home jersey. So yeah, Guatemala, they brought it for this tournament. I love the jersey. It's a good looking jersey, man. Props to Guatemala for hitting that one out of the park.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the blue actually kind of plays off a little bit on it. I mean, that's just me, but
yeah. So that's my number three, and then my number two is Panama, and yeah, it's a like okay. Some people are gonna be like, it's just a straight up red jersey, but I like the design that's in the red, and then for their away jersey, I love the little blue like lines that they have in the jersey. Like it's something different. I like it. I mean, New Balance New Balance has some interesting designs, and I like what they did for Panama. I wish I could say the same for Costa Rica. But yeah, Panama looks really good. And then my number one is Trinidad and Tobago.
I guess
I love that design.
Okay.
Full football. I don't know what were y'all doing, but y'all hit it right out of the park, man. The one thing I love for sure, especially for that away jersey, is the design that they have on the jersey, that indigenous person that's on the jersey. I love that look. The red jersey, I love it. It's a unique jersey, but they killed it. I actually do like what Trinidad and Tobago has going for them.
All right. So good news is I'm not going to copy you on that one.
Okay.
All right. So what's your top three to reiterate?
To reiterate is number three, Guatemala, number two, Panama, and number one, Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay. Okay. All right. So here's my top three. All right. So my number three, believe it or not, as simplistic as it is, I guess maybe because it's the simplicity of it, the El Salvador jersey, the Umbro ES. I mean, the ES is kind of, it just goes way back in the day. I like the little blue thin lines. It's the away jersey. I like the thin on the sleeves.
No, I love El Salvador's jersey. I think El Salvador always does good, especially ever since they partnered with Umbro. The only reason why I didn't have them in my three up was just because I like Guatemala's jersey more.
Okay. I mean, I'm not shooting you in the foot or nothing like that. Okay, so my number two. Okay, so it's going to be the U.S. men's white jersey. It's apparently the home jersey. Not that weird, awful, weird tribal looking thing. It's just so bad. But I mean, you can't really go with the classic white on the US. And mine, that since they have the old school Nike emblem on it, you know, I've always loved that one, you know me. And the collar, you know, on the inside of it, they have these stripes, the red stripes. They have the blue on the outside. So I like it. You know, I like that one. It's very, I guess maybe the simplicity of it, just the little details on it, seems pretty cool.
I mean, there's a difference between a plain jersey and just like it's simple, but it gets the job done.
To me, it's kind of like the Uruguay jersey, the away one, the one with the white with just the Uruguay and the Puma and the stars on it. Like it just, it's so simplistic, but yet so elegant. So that's how I see the U.S. men's national team away jersey. Mm.
And then your number one?
And my number one is going to be, believe it or not, the Costa Rica red jersey, the home jersey.
Okay, yeah, I love that. The reason why I didn't have Costa Rica was just because the black jersey was just like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the black jersey this year.
Well, the red one, I think maybe because it has that, again, simplicity, but to me, it sort of resembles the Spain jersey with the little yellow trimming on the sleeve itself. So it has like that old school feel to it of the Spanish jersey. I don't know if that makes any sense. And then the New Balance gold, the yellow with the gold on the side of it, with the emblem, you know, it's pretty cool.
Okay. Because you love your, you love Spain.
Well, no, the red of it, it just pops, bro. Like, it just, it's a good jersey. I mean, like,
it's what you expect from Costa Rica. Obviously, they have like the red jersey, the Ticos. But no, I totally get it.
Okay, so to reiterate, my number three is the El Salvador away jersey, the white one with the blue trimming. Number two, the white jersey for the UN's men's away team with the, or the home team, I'm sorry, with the white and the regular red and white sleeve trimmings on the inside with the red stripes and the collar. And then number two is, or number one is Costa Rica jersey, the red one. Or number one, yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right, so that is our three up, three down, and that is the show. We want to give a shout out to the Unhinged Sports Network. They are now doing the playoffs for Podcast of the Year. Obviously, we're competing in it, so we would like to win it. And the best way you guys, and obviously, it's all based on you, the listeners. So if you're listening to Unhinged Sports Network, well, first of all, thank you and hi. But secondly, how do you help us win Podcast of the Year? It's pretty simple. Listen to us whenever we're on the Unhinged Sports Network. And if you want the easiest way to be notified when we're live is by following the Unhinged Sports Network on Twitter at Network Unhinged. So they'll always let you know who's on. But I highly recommend you just checking unhingedsn.com regardless, because I think they have a lot of great podcasts like Far on the Bench, J-Dash Show, High Low Sports, shout out to Kelsey, and even their network exclusive shows like Cover Six, Two for Chirping, Unhinged FC, which we're a part of. So just overall, just a lot of great stuff. And then also they have some blog articles done. I've written a few of them, humble brag. But yeah, it's a really great website. And also they're currently following quarterback Aaron Ellis and the Gold Diggers as in their journey in the Danish American Football League. I think if you guys like those documentary series, kind of similar to like Last Chance U or QB1, you will definitely enjoy this series following the Gold Diggers, because it's I think it's a really cool thing, and it's an Unhinged exclusive. So that's where you're going to be able to watch it. So go ahead and check out the Unhinged Sports Network, because once again, we're part of the Unhinged Sports Network. We love the Unhinged Sports Network, and we can't wait to continue growing with the Unhinged Sports Network. And then shout out to Alejandra Gomez and her company, A&G Graphics, for the creation of the Insert Name FC logo. You can follow her on Instagram at a.g.graphics with an X. Once again, that's a.g.graphics with an X. If you guys need a logo created, well, Alejandra is your girl. So hit her up, let her know what you need, and she'll take good care of you just how she took good care of us.
Exactly. Also, I love you, Ale.
And shout out to our guy, our everything. We can't say this enough. We love this guy. Like, bro, we love you. We love Roosevelt Spencer. He is our producer. He's our beat maker. He does everything for us. So we greatly appreciate all the hard work he does for this podcast. And continue as he continues. If you guys hear the beats that we have for the intro and outro, well, he's the one that makes them. So hit him up on Instagram at thatguydope. Once again, it's at thatguydope. I'm going to continue to say this every single week till people understand why it matters. But there's nothing better than having your own original beat to your podcast, your YouTube channel, just anything that you're trying to do that is your brand. It's better to have your own beat besides having to deal with copyright or having permission to use certain people's music. It's just easier to avoid that stuff than just having your own original beat. And that's what Spencer does. Because, I mean, you hear our intro, you hear our outro, you know that that's Insert Name FC. So let Spencer take good care of you. Or if you're just an aspiring rapper and you need a producer to help you give you some really good beats, well, Spencer's your guy. Once again, follow him on Instagram at thatguydope and let him take good care of you.
Yep, that's right. That boy Spence will do it.
All right, man. So that is episode 44. Thanks for listening. And catch us next week for episode 45, the Mario Balotelli episode. We might have an image of Mario Balotelli for that episode.
Possibly.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Catch us next week.